Today's daf is daf tzadi hey. So we got to the bottom of a tzadi dalam rebeis right after the Mishnah. The Mishnah had been talking about cases where you had, let's say, the beged that was taken outside the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to go ahead and do kibbutz. You can bring it back in and do kibbutz. But let's say it became tamei outside. You can't bring something tamei inside the Beis HaMikdash. So first you have to tear it. And when you tear it, it loses its chalos shape. It's not a beged anymore. And if it's not a beged anymore, it doesn't become tamei. And then you bring it inside to wash. And something similar to the kli charis and the kli nechoshes, you break it in such a way where it's no longer considered keli, which means it's not tame, and then you bring it in to do the breaking of it or the mariko shtifa. So Gemara says, last four lines of Tadi Dalet Amr Beis. Maskiv la ravina, koro, you tear it. Well, beged amr achmarav v'la begedu. How is tearing going to work? The lacha is that you have to only do kibbutz on a davar that's a beged. The pasuk says, "V'chol asher yigah b'vsara yikdash v'asher yaza midama al habeged asher yaza la tichabes b'makom kadosh." That only that which is a beged requires kibbutz. Once you've torn it, it's no longer considered beged. There's no inyan of kibbutz. You've just lost the mitzvah. You're mevat to the mitzvah of kvisa. So the Gemara says, "D'mishayir bei k'day ma'foris." You left aside a little bit. What does that mean? So Rashi explains five lines up from the bottom here. The Mishayir Bey Shelo Yavdios Akera Al Pnei Kulo Lachlok is the Beged L'Shnayim. You didn't tear it the whole way, making it into two separate Begadim now. El Mishayir Bo Kedei Rochav Sudar. You left it connected a little bit where it's thick enough to be like a handkerchief. I don't know exactly what the shear would be, but let's just say a few Tvachim, it's still connected. He tore the whole thing in half, but left a few Tvachim connected. The Mitumaso Tahor Hovenikra Rubo, since most is torn, it's no longer considered Tame anymore. But the Chavin Shishai Bokdei Ma Forest, but since you left enough to be considered a Sudar, the handkerchief, Roy Lechabro, you could still reconnect it, sew it back together. The Shema Love, it's still called a Beged, who Beged Karina Bey. So it's, we tear in such a way where it loses the Tumah, but it's still called a Beged, and you can be Makan the Mitzvah of Kvisa in the base of Mikdash.
Meaning the fact that it's changing its use, the original use.
So it's not the same kli.
It's not the same kli, so I guess it's something like it's not a camel too.
Right, so it still is a beged, but a different function now.
Right.
Okay, so the Gemara challenges this and says, really, ain't is that really true? For Hamar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela shlo shayir bei kedei ma'pores. It's only true. What's not true? Look at Rashi two lines up. Lo shanu de talis temeya shehishchebo lekoro, a beged that's been torn, that kevin shenikra rubo Torah, El shelo shayir bosa miut kedei ma'pores. When you tear beged, it only loses its tumah if you tear it where there's not enough of a sudar left, where it's only hanging by thread, if not torn entirely. Aval says the Gemara, shayir be kedei ma'pores, if it's still connected to the width of a handkerchief, so then chibur, that's called connected, and the tumah still remains. So tearing it that much is not going to help. It still will have a din of tumah, and you can't bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, now going on to tzadi hei, midira banan hu. What's midira banan, says the Rashi? Midira banan gzeira, dilma lo ase limike ruba. Aba midiraisa, tahora, umutu lachnisa mishim mitzvas kibas. Again, midiraisa, if you tear it in such a way where there's a kedei ma'poros, a handkerchief with, that actually midiraisa, it's tahor, and you're allowed to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. Ah, didn't Rav Huna say no, it's still tamei? It's only tamei midirbanan. Why is it tamei midirbanan? Because it's a gzeira, lest you don't tear it entirely. If we say this case is mutter, so another guy might say, ah, I'll tear just a tiny bit, that's probably also tahor. So in order to avoid that, he says it has to be torn in almost entirely for it to be tahor, but that's a gzeira midirbanan. But diraisa, and the base of mikdash, we have a concept, ein shvus b'mikdash, you know there are banans in the mikdash, which itself is machlokas, when do you apply that? I'll explain in just a second. But since we say ein shvus b'mikdash, there are no gzeiras midirbanan in the mikdash, we go based on whatever is the diraisa. So since midiraisa, once you tear so much of it, rove, as long as there's a kedei ma'poros left, there's no longer tumah, but since there is a kedei ma'poros left, it is still considered a beged, and you are mekayim the mitzvah. As an aside, the Indian of ein shvus b'mikdash, the Marsha says ein shvus b'mikdash only applies to dine Shabbos. There are no gzeiras of Shabbos that apply to the base of mikdash, but other gzeiras midrabanans actually do apply in the base of Mikdash, and others say no, across the board, there is never any Yisri Dirbanan on the base of Mikdash, whether it's a din of Shabbos, whether it's a din of some other Isser, there are no Yisri Dirbanan at all in the base of Mikdash.
So this proves that it's on everything.
This proves, this exactly, this seemingly would say that it applies.
It has nothing to do with Shabbos.
Right. I use Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, the Rashi didn't. It could be, since it's a case of Yefshar B'in Acher, so we want to make the mitzvah, so we don't want to be Oker the mitzvah of Krisa, so, but maybe in a general we would say it doesn't, so I don't know. I just threw an Shrispa Mikdash on my own. I don't know if that's what they talk about here at all. Looking at the bottom here. But that's not an issue of Shabbos, though.
Says the Rabbanan can apply their decree of Tumah where it conflicts with the mitzvah to launder the garment.
Ah, so that's okay. They wouldn't want the Chum didn't want to create a gzeir at their Rabbanan in a way where they'd be ochre the mitzvah of Krisa Midiraisa. That's not the interest of Mikdash necessarily. Okay, the Gemara now says the very top of Tzadi Hei, Kli Charis Shiyatza, the same din of Kli Charis left. You bring it back in the base of Mikdash to break it. Kli, so now what happens if the Kli Charis left the base of Mikdash? Then it became Tameh. So now you can't bring a Davar Tameh into the base of Mikdash. We said make a hole in it. Once you make a hole in it, it's now considered, it lost the Shem Kli, and you can bring it into the base of Mikdash and break it entirely there. So Gemara asks the same question as before. Kli Amarachmana, below Klihu. The Pasuk says only a Kli requires breaking. It says Kli Charis Asher Tivush Abo Yishaber. But this is not a Kli anymore since you punctured a hole in it. So you're not going to accomplish the mitzvah of Shvir. So the Gemara answers, Shenikav Bishoresh Katam. You made a tiny hole in it. Now that hole was enough of it to make it a render it no longer this Kli in terms of the Tumah, but it's still considered a Kli in Mekayim the mitzvah of Shvir. So similar idea before. You tear it in such a way where it loses the Tumah, but it's still a Beged. And here you make it in such a way, make a hole in such a way where it's no longer the Tumah. Different use, like Rick was saying, different use, but still has a Shem Keli on it and would be Chayv and Shvir. So then the Gemara says the same thing. Kli Nechoshes Pochso, with a Kli Nechoshes that was taken outside, became Tame, you make a hole, and then you bring it in. But the Pasuk says as well, Kli Nechoshes Bushala Umorek Vishotef Shutev Amaim. Only a Kli requires Marika Vishifa. Once you made a hole, it's not a Kli anymore. Lav Klihu. The Gemara says, Deratzif Martif. Says Rashi two narrow lines down, Deratzif Le Martif. What that means is, Acha Shepochso Makalav Bekurnus. After you've made a hole in it, or maybe you've made it thinner, I guess, so then you hit it with a hammer of some sort, or I'm not sure they call it in English, umechabro, a hammer, yeah, and you hammer it in such a way where you reconnect it, v'chazar shem kli alav, then it becomes a kli. So first you make a hole, it's no longer a kli, so now it's tahor, but then you fix it and hammer it and reconnect everything, then it is considered a kli, and then you bring it back into the base of Mikdash, and you require the din of Mrika Ushtifa. So the Gemara now says, Amar Reish Lakish, Mi'il Shenitma Machniso Bipachos Mishalosh HaShalosh U'mechabso Mishum Shenemar Lo'ikareh. So what's going on here? So this is the Raisa. The Pasuk says, there are three Yisur when it comes to all the Big Dekunin, all the clay Mishkan, all those partials at the end of Sefer Shmos. There's only three Yisur. One of them is, you can't Lo Yasser Badim Aron, you can't remove the poles from the Aron. The other one is the Kohen Gadol can't remove the Ephod and the Choshen. And the third issue is you can't tear the Me'il. It's a Mefurish Pasuk. So what's going on here? So let's say the Me'il becomes Tameh, so you bring it in little by little. You like put it in different corners of it. You don't tear it, but you stick in just a small part of the garment connected, like you're standing outside, and you just stick in a little bit of it in the base Mikdash, and you wash it, and then you do another part and wash it, but you can't tear it in pieces because it's an Issa Deraisa, Shelo Yikareya, not to tear the meal. That's what's going on here. Rashi just explains here. Rashi says that Pachos Mishalosh Ashalosh She'enu Machnis Shir Beged Tamei Lazara Lefish Yefshar Lekara Ulachniso Mishum Shenemar Lo Yikareya. So that's what you do. You do it in piecemeal, bring in parts of the meal, whatever requires the Kavisa. That's the din here. So there's a Machlokis in the Achronim whether or not this would apply by other begadim as well. We say by the me'ilah, there's an issa d'raisa to tear it, even for the purpose of a kiblis. You can't tear it. But what about other begadim? Are you allowed to tear other big day kahuna for the purpose of kiblis? So everyone agrees there certainly is an issa to tear other begadim. But there's a diak they made from the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei Mikdash that one who ha kareya pia me'il loke gets malchus for tearing the me'il. And the Rambam adds, v'hu adin l'chol big day kuna she'akoro and derech hashchasa loke. So it says when it comes to me'il, tearing it, you violated the raisa. When it comes to other big day kuna, if you tear it derech hashchasa in a destructive way, so then you get a violation by other big day kuna. So some are medayik, when it comes to shar big day kuna, only derech hashchasa is a violation. But if it's a derech letzorech, you're doing it for the purpose of krisa, to perform a mitzvah, So then maybe you would be able to tear the other begadim, big dekuna, for the tzorech of the kvisa. That's a dik the Karban Chagiga writes. Sefer called Karban Chagiga. The Mishnah Melech says this is incorrect. He quotes his Karban Chagiga, says it's incorrect. There is no distinction between the Me'il and Big Dekuna. And just like the Me'il says you can't tear it in order to perform the mitzvah of Kvisa, so too you can't tear other Big Dekuna to perform the mitzvah of Kvisa. So Marchesha asks the question. We have a concept of Asei Docha Lo Sasei. So why don't we say the Asei of Kvisa be Docha the Lo Sasei of tearing the Me'il? So I know the answer that that Adam's going to say. He likes the toast at the end of Zvach and the Piskei toast. You like to quote that a lot also. But the same idea. What's the answer? One of the answers?
Not Bidna.
Not Bidna. It's not the same time. Look how we've learned for so many years together. I already can anticipate his answers. So not Bidna. It doesn't happen at the same time. Meaning, Asei Docha Lo Sasei only works if it happens at the same time. But here, the Kriya takes place before the Knesa, and then you bring in the Beis Mikdash to do Kvisa afterwards. That doesn't happen at the same time, and therefore it's not a, you can't apply Asei Docha Lo Sasei. There's a quote to say for him, Mincha Solas, that says another reason, we only say Asei Docha Lo Sasei, that's really last resort. But if there's another way around it, so then we'd rather not have to violate anything. And since you could accomplish it by putting in parts of the meal piece by piece without having to tear it, that's certainly the best avenue to take. Okay, so many interesting things on this topic, by the way. One other thing I'll mention, the Chelkas Yaakov asks the following question. Once the meal becomes tame, it no longer is considered Big Day Kuna. It loses the Kedusha's Big Day Kuna. In which case, that there is there shouldn't be any violation of tearing it anymore. What's his raya? So the Gemara Avodah Zarah tells us that kli shares, if you have a keli that became tameh with tumas Avodah Zarah, and then you want to reuse it, so then you have to give another, you have to do another mishich, you have to re-anoint it. Once it became tameh, it loses its status. So it's just like a kli shares, when it becomes tameh, it loses it and requires re-sanctifying. So it's a me'il, which is a type of kli shares, requires, once it's tameh, it's not a me'il anymore, and you would have to re-sanctify it, so you should be able to tear it while it's tameh. So the Avnei Ezer says as follows, that there's a distinction between kli shares and the Big Day Kuna. A kli shares, the whole function is to use. And once it's tameh, you can't use it anymore, it loses its status. But Big Day Kuna, the function isn't for an avod, it's not a kli shares, it's still a meal. Even though it's tameh and you can't walk inside, it still has the status of a meal. And just because it becomes tameh, doesn't mean it loses its status of the Kedusha. Okay. The Gemara now says Vayter, halfway down the Amud.
You could technically say the same thing with the other ones, that you could actually, keep watering. I'm saying once it loses, you could use it for stuff that's not the Kedusha.
The,
meaning if you have the, whatever.
The Klisharis?
Yeah.
No, but I think the point of Klisharis, the whole Kedusha of Klisharis comes from the function in the base of Mikdash. Once it's Tameh, it can't function anymore.
The
Chiddush of the Avnei Nezer is that Big Day Kuna is not for a function.
Because they're not supposed to wear it. There is Meila. If they wear it longer than they should, there is Meila.
But that's fine, but the nature of it is to be clothing, not to serve. We use it to serve, but nature, but it's clothing. It still is clothing, even though it's Tameh. The function is just a secondary point of the Me'il.
Is it Tameh because it left the base of Mikdash?
Now, that alone doesn't make it Tameh. It left, and if it left, the Mishnah says if it left, you could bring it back in. But if it left and then became tameh because it touched a mace or a nevela, so then it becomes tameh, and then you can't bring it inside. So then the Gemara says halfway down at Tzadi Heim and Alf here, the Gemara says, Mosiv Rav Adabar Ava, Ha'avin Va'arachim Ein Be Mishum Shalosh Al Shalosh. So what's the question here? So Rashi explains that Ha'avim is very thick bagged, and Arachin, he defines as things that are not woven. I don't know what that means in English. Just
soft.
So, okay, just soft. That's what Arachin means, but it ain't no Arug then. I guess it's not thick.
They used to punch together wool and create
Weaving it together.
Without weaving it. Aha, uh-huh,
okay.
Like some kind of
felt like that. It's pressed?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, so these things are not subject to Shalosh al Shalosh. Rashi explains, Ain ben mishum Shalosh al Shalosh. The lav lelevisha chazu, the lav letakim bechalak el leishavalav. These things are not, you don't wear felt, you don't wear these things. If it's too thick, you can't really wear it either. So it's a thing that people sit on, it's a cushioning of some sort. And tzarech shlosha al shlosha. So therefore, shlosha shlosha is a bigger, these are dimensions of tfachim as opposed to etzbos. They have to be larger. So shalosh al shalosh, when it comes to just Hebrew dictic, just for a moment, whenever it's the number is in masculine, so then feminine is the what's qualifying, meaning what? We said shalosh shalosh is going on etzbaos. Etzbaos is nekeva. Shalosh shalosh, three fingers. But now we're saying mishum shlosh shalosh. Rashi is a different gear than the Gemara. Shlosh is going on tfachim. Shlosh is nekeva. Tfachim is zachar. So now you need a bigger shear of shlosh shalosh tfachim. So it's saying it's not subject to these halachas at all, even because they're not considered beged. No matter how big or how small you make it, it doesn't become so. Since the beged of the meal was very very thick. So it was made from like eight string threads. They were very thick. It's not subject to the halacha. So bringing in piecemeal is not going to help anything out here. So the Gemara says, normally you're correct, but agav avim chashivi. So normally you're right. If you have a small piece of felt that's 3x3, it doesn't make a difference at all. But if it's connected to the beged, the chibur Rashi says agav avun kishum chubur bebeged chashiv gimel agimel. So in other words, when I had the meal, I put only like 3x3 in. That's not a beged for me to perform the mitzvah of kvisa. We said 3x3 doesn't apply to things that are very thick, and the meal is very thick. You're right in general. If I just 3x3 a piece of felt, it wouldn't work. But since it's connected to the larger meal, so when I put a 3x3 piece of the meal as it's connected inside, that is considered a beged, and you are being mekayin the mitzvah of a kibbutz.
Why wouldn't it just say that the kibbutz can put in a bigger piece of it?
Because then you're bringing in tumah.
But it's momenashach, if it's not considered...
No, that's the question we're dealing with. We're trying to find a case where it's no longer tameh, but still is considered beged. So the 3x3...
So it's the different measurements for one and
the other. Exactly, right. That's the whole idea. Same thing with the holes, you're tearing it. So then the Gemara says, V'habay shiva simimanim... Damarav nachman amarabba baravu adam chadas amaros negayim tzuchan shiva simimanim... That you have to, in order to wash it, this is a question by all these cases of kvisa, that you have to do shiva simimanim, and the list, Rashi lists the seven, he lists all the seven ones here. Look at Rashi, if there's a stain of dam, to remove it, you need to put seven different mixtures together. Then in some, when it comes to stains, rok tafel, umeraglayim, v'neser, v'boris, v'oel, v'kumun, v'ashel, ashleg. So now the question becomes, ask the Gemara, the Tanya, so the problem is, if you have to bring into the base of mikdash to do krisa, and one of the seven simanim is meraglayim, you can't bring meraglayim in the base of mikdash. It's not covetic to bring it in. So technical problem, how do you do krisa in general? If you're going to tell me, on the base it says, so maybe what you're going to do is, you mix it together with all the seven simanim outside, and then you put them all together in one shot. So you make the potion outside the base of Mikdash, and now once it's mixed, there's only one of the seven liquids that are there. It's not considered meraglayim, then it's permitted. But that doesn't work. You can't mix them together and then scrub it, because v'hatsan, the Mishnah tells us, maseches nida, ha'avirin shalok kesidron, if you put them out of order, the way it was listed in the Mishnah, or shevir v'shivasin kechad, or you mix them together and then scrub it all as one, lo asur lo klum. Has to be done separately, in the right order. And since you have to bring meraglayim in separately, how could you bring a meraglayim into the base of Mikdash? So let's say you mix it with one of them. So don't mix it with all seven, but mix it with just at least one of them. That could be a suggestion. So the Gemara says, v'hatzarach l'chas case shalosh pamim b'chol echad v'echad tanan. But you have to scrub it like three times, or pour it over three times with each of them individually. You can't mix it up, the Mishnah tells us. So how in the world do you bring meraglayim in the base of Mikdash to perform kivisa? So the Gemara answers, Ela de mivlei le barok tafel. No, you mix it, you can mix it with this rok tafel, with this type of saliva. The Rish Lakish rok tafel tzarech sheim em kol echad v'echad. Rish Lakish felt that this saliva had to be mixed with each and every single one of them. So too, it's mixed with the meraglayim, and therefore it loses its potency, and somehow it's not considered a violation of the bring meraglayim into the base of Mikdash.
Didn't we learn in by the Ketoreh that one man, the Amor, said that it was the name, it was something else, but they called it Meraglayim? It wasn't something like that?
I don't remember. No? Could be, I'm not sure.
Interesting, the Rambam doesn't hold that you use what Meraglayim.
That's what Meraglayim is Ricky saying. Itakadon. That goes against the Gemara, though.
By the Ketoreh that they used the name, but it wasn't real Meraglayim.
Uh-huh.
Does it say something, or does it say?
just as he didn't use the holds. The Rambam holds, you don't bring in Meirabayim, so that you don't use that, that ingredient.
The quote here, the Rambam says, Kol shivas semimadim shemavirin ala kesem, chutz meraglaim she'ein machnis meraglaim lemikdash. Lachamish asks the question, but the Gemara says clearly you do. You just mix it with the rok tafel. How does Rambam completely leave it out? And when the Rambam even lists in Hilchos Yisur Bir, he doesn't mention that you mix the meraglaim with the rok tafel at all. So the Lachamish says that we don't pass like Reish Lakish. Rambam passes against Reish Lakish. And in which case, that you don't need to mix rok tafel with each one. But then the question becomes, how in the world do you bring in the meraglaim into the base of Migdash? Which he says is not so unclear exactly what the sheet of the Rambam is. Okay. On this, they actually ask, since the issa to bring meraglaim in the base of Migdash is only din derabanan, it's not derais, it's only min derabanan. So then we see, he asks the question, if ain shvus b'mikdash, so then how come... Did I just lose this? If it's ain shvus b'mikdash, so then how come we say just bring it in? If it's only min derabanan, why not say that it allowed it to come in for the purpose of the mitzvah here? So that's the way they quote the Maharsha that says ain shvus b'mikdash only applies to Isur derabanan, Isur Shabbos rather. Isur Shabbos we say ain shvus b'mikdash, but in Isur derabanan that's not related to Shabbos, so then they would keep in the base of Mikdash. So since the bringing meraglaim is an Isur derabanan, but it's not related to Shabbos, so then we would hold on to Isur derabanan, and there's no reason to bring it into the base of Mikdash. Okay, let's now begin the new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that echad shebishel bo v'echad she'ira l'tocha roseach, whether or not it's something that you cooked in or something that you poured into as a klisheni, so then the din is echad kadshe kadshim echad kadshe kam, regardless of what type of carbon it was, t'unim marika u'shifa. You require marika v'shifa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kadshim kalim ein t'unim marika v'shifa. We'll see in the Gemara, he thinks it only applies to kadshe kadshim, not kadshim kalim. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Now, the Marika of Shtifa is based on Psukim, but the Rishon bring reasons as to why it is. Why do you have to do Marika of Shtifa? Normally, we don't learn the Darsh in time of the Kra, but here, the Ran and others say it's a very Pasha reason, because just like we don't want to leave out anything overnight, Nosar, so to the basis for this is we want to burn any Nosar that's embedded in the walls of the Kli. So that's in the Marika of Shtifa. Now, there's a Brisker Rav on this. Brisker Rav says that even though the whole goal of Marika of Shtifa is not to be machshir the keli. The reason is to get the noser out. Nothing to do with the keli. We don't care about the keli. He says, nonetheless, though, that is a result. Once you remove the nosar, the kli is considered a kasher, in which case you can learn halachas of hechshir kelim. Marika v'shtifa serves as a model of hechshir kelim in general. When it comes to trafing up a pot in your house, we do learn halachas from Marika v'shtifa. Even though Marika v'shtifa, the goal isn't to machshir the keli, we don't really care about the keli, the goal is to remove the nosar, we still can learn halachas, and you see that a number of places in the Gemara. So the Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, Asha tivushal bo, that which you baked in it, Ein li ela shebishel bo. I only know if you actually cooked in it. Let's say ira tocha rosech. Let's say you poured, you had some boiling, I don't know, you're making some stew, and you poured it into a second kli that you didn't cook in it. How do you know you have to kasher that second kli as well? So taminayin tamalomer vasher tivusha bo yishaver. So the extra pasuk asher tivusha bo to tell me it says im kli nechoshes bishula. Wait, which line is this from? Ukli charis asher tivusha bo. It says twice in the pasuk. Asher tivushal, I guess the word bo also maybe, that's a din. What's the extra pasuk here, hold on. Right, no, but in the play, the two lines, klei charis, and it says klei nechoshes. So Rashi says, ira l'tocha roseach minayin, tamalom asher vo yishaver, midesamech yishaber, etzel, the word bo, lo kasev im b'chli charis tivushal, yishaver, but it says the word bo, l'midresh, im nivla bo mikol makom yishaver. No matter what absorbs the cooking, it's going to be requiring the din of shvira.
This has nothing to do with tumah. It's just
you
cooked.
Yeah, no, it's exactly nothing to do with tumah at all. So this actually serves. Rabbeinu Tam uses this as a raya. There's a whole discussion whether iroi is kli rishon or not. When it comes to hilchos Shabbos near bas v'chav, when you pour something, does that pouring have the same din as a kli rishon? Is it able to be mevashel or not be mevashel? So Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar uses this sugi as a raya that since you have to kasher that second kli, iroi, something that you poured into, has a din of bishel, and therefore that's why it requires hagalas kalim. The Rashbam argues, I don't know how he deals with this Gemara here, but the Rashbam says, no, Iroi only has the ability of klisheni. Klisheni does not have the ability to absorb something, in which case you would not necessarily have to kasher. That's the understanding of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. The Gemara now says, by Rami Bar Chama, talu ba'avir tanur mahu. Let's say you had suspended the meat, the carbon, over the oven. It was cooking over the oven. Mahu abishul ubiliyah hu gedepkapid rachmana o dima abishul below biluah. So suspended over the oven. Now the oven's producing heat. So there's going to be bishul, that cook. This oven's the source of the bishul, but there's no bilius because the meat is not inside the oven. It's nothing's being absorbed, not touching the walls. So the question is, do you have to do merika shtif on such an oven? So the question is the hakpada of bishul, and there is bishul accomplished here, even though there's no bilua, or no, it's about that which is balua, and there is no absorption, meaning you wouldn't need merika shtif in this case. So my, what's the so the Gemara says again, what's the din? Amar Rava. Rava says tashma. So whether or not you cooked in it, whether or not you poured into it, requires mikvah shtifa. So when you poured in it, balua below bishul lo kumivaylam. No, so you try to bring a raya from when you poured into a second kli, you have to kash the second kli. That second kli didn't cook anything; it just absorbed it. So if you can have balua below bishul, you could also have bishul below bilua. So we think at this stage that bishul below bilua does require mrika v'shtifa. You could separate the two factors. And where it says, no, you got it all wrong. When it comes to bilua below bishul, absorption without cooking, lo kumi bailan, that we never asked. That was obvious. But our question is, ki kumi bailan, bishul below bilua mai. If there's cooking without absorption, meaning the case where the basar is suspended over the oven where it's being cooked, but it's not absorbing, mai, what's the din? Do you require mrika v'shtifa in that case? The Tashma, the Gemara says, Damer of Nachman, Amar Rabba, Bar Avua, Tanur Shel Mikdash Shel Mateches Haya. The Tanur in the base of Mikdash was made of metal. Why? Bishagadaitach Bishul below Bilua Lo Kapid. So if you were to hold cooking without absorption is not a problem. So then, Navad Shel Cheres, why not make it a Klei Cheres? Because if it's Klei Cheres, you would never have to kasher. As long as you suspend the meat over and just cooking from the heat and the fire in the Klei Cheres, you would never have to kasher. Similarly, the reason why they required it made of mateches, so you could always kasher and fix it. They didn't want to make a klei cheres every single day and break them and rebuild them, That's crazy. So that's why they made them in metal, because if it was made of klei cheres, you'd have to break them if it was suspended over the oven. So that's, we see from here that bishul, below bilua, does require shvira, does require mrika v'shtifa. Gemara says, no, not true. But really, if it was suspended over the klei cheres, it wouldn't require shvira. But since kevendika shiari minachos the afiasam betanur, so vika bishul bilua avdinan shamatechas. You're right. The meat you would cook over suspended. The meat wouldn't be any problem for the klicharis. But since there's also the mincha, which required baking inside the oven itself, and that would be bishul bilua, that's why they wouldn't make any oven out of klicharis, because those particular minachos. But regards to things that were suspended over the air, a bishul bilua, that we don't know right now whether it requires mirik v'shtifa or it doesn't.
It's impossible to cook anything without ripping down some kind of juice or something.
So it could be they had a pan over that was catching everything.
Right.
If it was on the skewers, you know, or rotisserie, then you're
in everything.
So it must be some type of pan that was over that would catch everything.
But then the heat doesn't come out.
No, the heat will still go through. If it's metal, it's going to still go through. You may not have like the charcoal the outside that you wanted, but it has to be something like that, I would guess. Okay, unless you say each drip gets burnt from the fire right away and doesn't go in the klei cheres. Yeah, and the Gemara's in Pesachim talk about the Karim Pesach touching the different parts of the oven there. I don't remember all the halachas, but okay. Gemara now quotes. This is a Gemara you might be familiar from and remember from Pesachim, our first Pesach that we learned together. Gemara says, "Ahu tanura da'adche bei tichaya." A certain oven that was smeared with tichaya. What's tichaya? So Rashi says, "Tachu bei tichaya." Around 15 lines up from the bottom here, min tigunhu she'osin milechem, and some type of oil fat that was used from bread. Tvetashin atanur be'elya v'ofen es alechem acher shatchu. You would line the oven inside the oven with some fleshik fats, the oil, and then you put the bread on top of it. So what happened? What's halacha? Asir Rabba You can't eat the bread. The bread becomes asr. Why? What's asr about it? Everything was kosher. Every ingredient was kosher. Li'olam, you can't ever eat it. Even to eat it with milcha, which is saying par with salt, I guess, the pariv, you still can't eat it. Why? Because dilma asr l'michle bekutzcha. You might eat it with milcha. It's in the fleshic breads and dairy breads. We don't make fleshic breads, dairy breads. Since the bread is always a staple of the meal, so you might get confused and have fleishig bread and confuse it to have it with some cheese. And if you have milchik bread, you might confuse it to have it with some steak. So therefore, he asked it forever. This lashon, by the way, that he asked it forever, there's an interesting pischei tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch, on these halachas. He has a chakir, whether or not this becomes an iser chefsa. The midraisa, this is completely permitted. But it sounds like the fact that it was aser li'olam, that becomes an iser chefsa on these breads. I forget the nafkaminas, but the pischei tshuva talks about this. I believe the iser is to bake it itself would be the iser. I believe so. Yeah. But then the question becomes, once it's been baked, how much of is it considered a cheft shel iser at this moment? So they bring a rye from this lashon of the Gemara that it's become a cheft shel iser. There are nafkamines, I don't remember them right now. The Gemara then says, Meisive, ein lashon etza isa bechalav, you can't knead dough with milk. Vim lash, kol pas kula asur. Then the entire bread becomes asur, it's dairy bread. Vibne herga avera, because it's going to lead to avera, because you're so used to eating meat, rather bread. With every meal, you might get confused and have your dairy bread with some fleishiks. Kiyotzi bo in a similar way. Ein tashin es atanur be'alya. You can't line the oven with some fleishik fat. Vim tash kol pas kula asur. If you do, then the entire pas becomes asur. Ad sheyasik es atanur. But there's a way around it. It's the way around it is by kashering, turning on the fire of the oven, you turn it at the highest temperature, and you've kashered your oven. So while the first case, it sounded like, according to Rabbah, there is no way to fix it. That oven becomes like usr forever. This statement says, no, you can fix the oven, just kasher the oven, then you could use the oven for something power afterwards. So this is a tiyufta, the Rabbah bar Ahilai tiyufta. Amrle Ravina, Ravina says, le Ravashi, if it's really true that we rejected Rabbi Bar Ilai, and we hold that you can kasher a tanur if it had been baked with fleishik fats and bread, so then if that's really true, we reject Rabba. Amai Amar Rav. Why does Rav say by kederus bePesach yishru? The person had used chametz on Pesach, the kederus. He says break them. If we really paskin that you're allowed to kasher things, and that's a real solution, so why break the kederus of Pesach? Just kasher them, just like you kasher that oven. So do we say, it sounds like a general machlokas, can you kasher things, or kalim that become trade for us or forever? That seems to be the very basic question, which we know the answer, of course we could kasher things. So can you kasher things, or can you not kasher things? So Amar, le Rav, moki le lahu b'shel matechas. No, it's a difference of the material. If it's matechas and made from metal, so then of course you could kasher. So that's what we're talking about of if you use a fleishik bread or milchik bread, you just kasher with its matechas, made of metal. But if the situation where it's made of klicheres, like the kederes and Pesach, so then we say you can't kasher klicheres, you can't kasher earthenware, then you have to break them. And that seems to be the same idea perhaps of Rabbah Bar Ilai. He would say the same thing. Maybe he was describing an oven that's made of klicheres, in which case you can't kasher it and you have to bake it. There's an Ibar Yisema here. We'll save for tomorrow because it's a very short daf tomorrow. So we'll stop here and everyone have a wonderful day. Andy, take care. Hope you heard.
What's the exact process of Shtifa Merikah? Meaning, how did it involve? They had to do what they